One of the most powerful storms on record in the Gulf of Mexico is threatening the entire panhandle of Florida. And Paul, when you hear people in that area who 11 days ago were affected by Hurricane Helene, and you've seen perhaps a video of all the debris stacked along roadways in front of businesses and homes, now there's a race to clean that up so that it doesn't become projectiles and inflict further damage when the winds hit.
All this work is exhausting. Sandbagging, debris removal, that last minute running around you need to do. And there are people, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people have been asked to evacuate away from the coastline.
And you've seen the highways are just absolutely jammed bumper to bumper. They're running out of gasoline in some areas. They're running out of food staples too. We're going to check in the next half hour with a friend and journalist who lives in Tampa. He's there. He tried to go to the store last night. And just as an example, his kids are evacuating. He's going to hunker down. He's not in a mandatory zone. And we'll get an update from meteorologist Joe Lundberg on the latest coming up.
And as long as we're talking about meteorology, this is CBS's Lonnie Quinn on Milton.
All eyes are on Tampa, Florida. If it goes just north of Tampa, that would put all the storm surge into Tampa and Tampa Bay. The water has nowhere to go. It's like taking a gallon of water and pouring it into a Dixie cup. You're going to fill it up, and then it's just going to bubble up and bubble up and bubble up. For everybody in that area, if this holds true, it's the worst storm you have ever seen.
And that's really what we're hearing. So Tampa's airport's closing at 9 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
St. Pete Clearwater closing. Orlando closes tomorrow at 8 a.m. Miami, Jacksonville, and Fort Lauderdale airports will remain open, at least for now. So if you have flights headed that direction, obviously you want to stay close to your carrier.
Yeah, a friend of mine and I were on the phone yesterday. She was planning to head down to Florida later this week and do some work down in the Orlando area, Central Florida, and she's, of course, canceled those plans. I have friends in Melbourne, Jacksonville, friends over in the Sarasota-Bradenton area with a home there that their summer home right now is in Latrobe. I don't know if there are any of us that work up here that don't have at least one connection in Florida right now. Ron Cook, one of our friends who just retired, is living in Fort Myers. He just moved down there just not too long ago.
Yeah, Joe Starkey from The Fan, who's a writer for the Post-Gazette, also contacted Ron and, very concerned. So we have so many connections, especially Pirates and spring training, and that's how I really discovered that beautiful area in Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. So our
both of which, by the way, were there's a lot of damage,
a lot of debris,
from Helene. That moved the huge chunks of the beach right over the road and into homes and businesses.
Yeah, most of that due to the surge, as opposed to wind damage. Although there are some, but there's concern that the wind damage here might be more intense, and a direct hit on Tampa would be, you hate to use the word catastrophic, but I think that's what we're looking at in the region. So our thoughts and prayers with everybody there. Meanwhile, Sarah Innamorato, Allegheny County Executive, Marty Griffin, as you heard with Paul at the top of the newscast, suggesting a 46.5% tax increase, on properties?
Yeah.
That's how they're going to make up a shortfall of what they project to be nearly $80 million.
Our David Ballarato caught up with Sarah Innamorato at a ceremony yesterday, a groundbreaking, and asked her about this, and she wouldn't confirm specifically any numbers, but she did tell him that the county's facing tough times. The last time they had a millage increase was back in 2012. Here's her comment.
Our costs at the county have gone up just like everyone else's, and the county is being asked to do more and more.
And so the official word should come today when Sarah proposes her first budget as Allegheny County Executive.
I guess that comes around 5 o'clock tonight or thereabout.
Yes. And a diversion from reality. A hockey night in Pittsburgh tomorrow. The Pens open the season at PPG Paints against the New York Rangers. They got down to their season roster and are ready to go with, of course, Captain Sidney Crosby, no longer Sid the Kid, Sid the Mid, middle-aged man. But what a talent and what an honor to still have Sid as part of the organization.
And there are some new faces on the team this year. Very young faces.
So we'll see how it goes tomorrow night again. 7:30 face-off at PPG Paints. And that's up. We'll go live to Tampa, Florida, as the evacuation of hundreds of thousands of people continues. And we'll check in with meteorologist Joe Lundberg. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Paul Rasmussen. Paul, I saw a post from Liv Dunn, the girlfriend of Paul Skeens, the Pirates pitching rookie of the year, phenom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it said, we have a new recruit. And it shows Paul down at LSU on the trampoline, on the balance beam. He looks completely human.
Oh, boy.
And out of place.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Out of place, right?
It's kind of fun. We'll repost it so you can see that. That said, as we put a exclamation point in the Pirates season, get ready for the Pens to open tomorrow. There was action yesterday.
There was action yesterday. In front of the city county building, a protest about the Pirates.
This is Pittsburgh. We're the city of champions. We have the Penguins and the Steelers who want to win. They win. I feel like as the city of Pittsburgh, we deserve better.
That is one of the twin brothers who were protesting, Canyon and Carter Schwartz. Basically, they're frustrated by the team's performance in the last few seasons. They want to see changes, starting with the owner, Bob Nutting.
We think that it could be better, and we want it to be better. And since nothing else is working and nothing has changed since the 20 years that he has been owner, we decided to let our voices be known.
And here is his brother, Canyon.
He's fine with just us being bad, and they want us to be fine with being bad.
There it is.
I don't know what they actually hope will happen. Are they asking the city to, what can you do?
Yeah. You know, one thing that could be said that I don't know for sure that this is the number, but there has been a very big success for the Pirates, and that is the value of the team has appreciated tremendously. The last estimate I saw was it's worth more than $1 billion.
God.
So whether or not they're winning, is irrelevant in terms of the value of it. It's as an investment. It's been a very handsome investment for Bob Nutting.
Yeah, he doesn't want to give that up, probably. I mean,
who would?
It's the same story every year. It gets frustrating. But Paul Skeens, the huge highlight.
I got to see these pictures, by the way.
I just sent this and reposted it.
Okay.
And Aaron's going to reshare it with you too.
Paul Skeens on a balance beam, man. That's got to look
great.
Like
he's doing all this stuff. You see these women. Well, his girlfriend is a goat now in college sports by being able to run the apparatus. Wow, this is hilarious. is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with our anchorman Paul Rasmussen, and we continue to watch Hurricane Milton in the Gulf of Mexico, and we go now live to Tampa, Florida, where the storm is supposed to make landfall sometime late tomorrow night into the early hours on Thursday. A journalist and friend, and on this night where we're going to recognize our hometown heroes, he's one of our past recipients of a Lifetime Hero Award, Mike Gallagher, originally from Pittsburgh Central Catholic, spent much of his career in Erie, now lives in Tampa. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Well, we're worried about you guys, seeing the intensity of the storm, knowing you just dealt with Helene, which really hit Tampa hard, and now the evacuations are underway, and I understand your own children have left, and you're hunkering down, right? You're not in the mandatory evacuation zone, but many people have decided to leave anyway, right?
Right. My kids got on the road. They're driving home to Pittsburgh, actually, as we speak. But where I'm at, they zoned it. I'm in Zone D. Zones A, B, and C have been evacuated. So I'm kind of on the cusp, so I'm hoping we do well. But it was just, I mean, it's just been crazy. I mean, and I've been through a few storms here. And like you talked about Helene, That was 200 miles offshore. It never touched the shore, and it did all that damage. It did billions of dollars damage, and it never got here. It was 200 miles away when it went up through the Gulf. So this thing with a direct hit could be just a disaster for and the one thing I heard one of our local meteorologists point out is the last time we had a storm even similar to this was 1921. 125,000 people lived in the Tampa metro area. Now we're trying to evacuate 3 million who live here.
Yeah, boy, Mike, this is really an ominous-looking storm. I guess the one hopeful thing about it right now is it looks like it's going to be Category 3 by the time it reaches landfall.
Yeah, they're saying that because of the wind shear, and that's the one thing you learn living in Florida, you become your own meteorologist. You start understanding millibars and wind shears and things I never wanted to have to learn about. But, yeah, they are saying it should weaken. But the whole thing with Tampa will be that storm surge. Like, even the airport has water around three sides of it. And when that water gets pushed into the bay, it just has nowhere to go. And one of our local meteorologists described it as take a Dixie cup, now pour 10 gallons of water into that cup and see what it looks like. That's what happens when a surge like this comes into Tampa Bay.
We're with Mike Gallagher in Tampa. So, Mike, after Helene, and we saw what they tried to do to save the hospital in Tampa with this aqua wall, and they were one of the few businesses, in this case, a nonprofit trying to save lives, had this kind of technology. Now, people don't have time. I mean, you can't possibly prepare for a 10 to 15 foot surge.
No, not only that, but even where I'm at, I'm away from surge, you know, disaster potential, at least I'm hoping. But you start thinking about it. If a Category 5 eye wall goes right through where I'm at, 5 miles as the crow flies to the Gulf of Mexico, you start looking around your house and say, okay, what am I grabbing? If I can grab a handful of things or a small car load or whatever I'm grabbing, what is it you're taking? Look around your house today. What if you think that there's a chance that nothing's going to be left, what are you taking with you? Obviously, people go first, but is it that picture of your parents? Is it, you know, that James Conner's game helmet from his ACC championship season? You know, it means a lot to us, and I'm just watching it for him. Is that one of the things I grab? And my son says, yeah, you better grab it because you might have to put it on.
And, you know, that's... Man, that's you're a microcosm of what so many people are thinking and going through.
Well, that's the other thing, Larry, is just imagine. Look at all the people you know in Pittsburgh. You couldn't count them. Well, now you're all talking about going through the same disaster. They're all going to be in the same situation you're in. So, you know, if you have a disaster that happens in a neighborhood, it's, oh my gosh, we can all pull together and go help this neighborhood. But now you're talking about, you know, an area where the population is over 3 million people that are all going to be hit with the same thing. So who do you feel bad for first? Yourself? Them? Kids? What? I don't know.
You were at the store last night trying to just get staples. What was that like?
It was, I'm trying to get other essentials. There's no bread. It's cleaned out. And I give credit to these people at Walmart who are working. Who, you know, they're not running for their lives. They're there trying to serve me, and we're treating them like they're, you know, crap. Hey, I need this. I need that. And the other one was gas. When my kids left, they went to 17 gas stations to find gas. And some of them they went into, people were fighting over the gas out in front of the pumps because people were filling their gas cans for their generators, and other people are saying, no, you need to share some of that. And they're arguing back and forth. And it's like an apocalyptic, you know, time. And I've been through these. Well, people tell me we'll be okay. This one has people who always say that we'll be okay in the hurricane saying, uh-oh, we're in trouble.
Mike, how are you set up, by the way? How are your preparations?
We have, you know, the big lawn furniture is in the pool because the theory being it won't get blown away in the pool. So you throw all that in the pool, you board up what you can, you bring everything inside, loose objects. And that's the other problem with this hurricane, is we have a lot of neighbors who still have piles of debris in their front yard from Helene 2 weeks ago. So now that neighborhood next to us that did get affected last hurricane has all that material that's going to, one, be a projectile, and is just going to add to whatever disaster that this creates. So it's just an absolute mess. But I'm hoping, I'm watching a dog for my son's friend, because the shelters couldn't keep the dogs. And my son's friend was out of town, and the shelter called and said, you got to come get your dog. We're shutting down. We can't keep the dog. So we went and got the dog. And it's those little things that you don't think of. That, okay, I got my dog at the shelter because I'm going here. Well, now the shelter's closing. Now all the gas stations are closed. Now I can't use an ATM. Now I can't, and then you tell everybody, don't panic if you can't get me tomorrow or Thursday, because the phones and the power will probably be out. And if you're thinking your power's going to be out for a week or two, what are you doing? Are you buying box cereal? Think about it. You won't be able to cook, do anything for who knows how long. And it isn't like you can go to your neighbor's house, because they're in the same situation you are.
Well, appreciate you taking some time for us this morning, Mike.
I appreciate you guys. And you might be seeing me sooner than later. I might be a Pittsburgher again real soon. And, they always joke with me down here about all the snow I deal with in Erie, PA. How do you deal with that? You know how we deal with it? We wait for it to melt. I have hot cocoa, light a fire, wait for it to melt, and I'm good. I've never once had a snowstorm in Erie, PA threaten to try and move me to Canada in one gust of wind. That's the reality of what this is. But this one is scary. We're praying for the best, and, appreciate all the support that we're all getting from people around the country.
All right, Michael. God bless, brother. We'll keep in touch.
All right, Larry. Thanks.
That was not easy.
And just their preparations for this massive storm, and wanted to get the latest from you.
Well, the top winds mercifully have come down. Instead of being 180 miles per hour like they were last evening, they're only, quote-unquote, 155 miles per hour. It just means that it's not as powerful as it once was, but it is still an extremely, extremely dangerous hurricane. And the transformation that it's undergoing at this hour, it's basically replacing its eye wall. And that's something that happens in a lot of these big hurricanes, these strong hurricanes. And it's going to mean that the wind field is going to expand. So whereas you might have had the hurricane force winds in a very small area, you'll have them in a bigger area going forward. Same thing for the tropical storm force winds, which just means that pretty much most of the Florida Peninsula is going to be bracing for destructive winds and power outages from this system as it expands in size here over the next 24 hours.
Joe, it looks to me, and maybe you can straighten me out if I'm not right on this, but it looks to me like rain is going to be the least of the worries. It's going to be storm surge first and wind second.
I think that's right. Storm surge, certainly in the Tampa area down to maybe Fort Myers, probably 10 to 15 feet. In some of the worst hit areas, it could be 15 to 20 feet. You're just going to be piling that water in from the west and southwest for a couple of tide cycles without it having an opportunity to escape. And then as the storm goes by, you still have a west to northwest wind behind it. So you might even have a third tide cycle where the water just can't escape before finally it can go out.
Well, it's hard to imagine being there, Joe. As
I can't
know.
Either. I can't.
Hundreds of thousands of people trying to evacuate in the meantime. Appreciate the update, and we'll be in touch.
Okay, take care.
Meteorologist Joe Lundberg at AccuWeather's headquarters. 655.